Let's face it, if you're pastoring a church, you are a busy person. And to help you, we want to share with you 8 tools that I use, and you probably should use too, to help save time in 2025. Let's talk about them. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about must-have tools for busy pastors in 2025. None of that 2024 stuff for you this year. It's all
gone.
Fresh tools. We're writing this in 2025.
Yep.
I guess some of the software might have been around last year still, but
yeah.
This is a fresh list that we've put together here of things that we're using right now that we think as a pastor myself and a running a company like Reach Right, we find these tools to be really good, and we think maybe you should try them too. So should be a good conversation, Ian.
Absolutely, especially here towards the beginning of the year. Pastors are, and ministry leaders are looking for, fresh tools to just empower them, equip them further, and doing good work in the ministry. So,
Let me mention this real quick. We did do a video a while back that has a couple of these in there. I'll link to it up here, I think on this side. Yep, I'll link to it. What this video is it's actually a list of free software that you can get as a church or a nonprofit. You actually qualify for all kinds of free software, and several of these things we're going to talk about, you actually can get a free subscription to. So be sure to check out that video. I forget which side. It's either here or there. check out that video. You guys are going to want to watch that. So take it away, Ian.
Good. Well, we'll dig right in. So for starting with a ministry management tool, if we can call it that, what would you recommend?
Okay, so this is going to be hotly debated, I would think, because I imagine that our audience probably uses 20 different ministry management tools, or you might call them church management software or church CRMs.
CRMs,
whatever you would call it. So I've used probably 5 or so in my ministry career over the years. Maybe some of you are just using Google Sheets or Excel spreadsheets. If so, knock it off. It's time to upgrade and actually get the piece of software. So I think I have to go with the one that I think probably the majority of our audience uses, and that would be Planning Center. So I've been around long enough to know that Planning Center started out as something that worship teams used to make sure they were on the same page with kind of their worship set lists and those kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
And it has evolved into, like, really out of nowhere, in a very competitive industry to be what I find to be the leader when it comes to church management software out there as a whole. I think for every small to medium-sized church, maybe not for the very largest, but for small to medium-sized churches, I think it is the best tool. I use it at my church. It's great for communication side of things. It's really reasonably priced. There are some great things you can do to incorporate giving and that kind of stuff in there, although we don't use that component at our church.
Sure.
But I would say that the number one for me would be Planning Center. I guess if I was going to do an honorable mention, it would probably be Church Community Builder, I think, for larger churches, another really good software. But you and I have been around doing this for a long time, Ian. There's dozens of different pieces of software. We've written blog posts and things about them, ranking them and rating them. But number one for me is Planning Center. Agree?
Yeah, and I agree. But as someone who talks to more churches, I think, than anyone else in our company, we have other people that talk to a lot of churches as well here, but that's who I'm hearing churches using more of. So I would hear them the majority of the time. They are definitely doing something right now. So agree.
Good stuff.
So, well, good. So for a communication tool, this is a big one. What would we recommend for that?
Okay. So this one, I'm always cautious with this because when I talk about things that I don't do at my own church, I sometimes feel like a hypocrite. But these things are so hard to change once you're on them that it can be kind of tough. So disclosure is my church does not use this, but our number one tool is Slack. I would imagine, do you think most churches use Slack? I know you talk to churches all the time, the ones that you're talking to, Ian. Do you find that most of them do, or would you say less than half, or what would you think?
You know, that's not something that comes up often in my conversation. Yeah. So I don't think I can answer that, but it does come up because, you know, I mention often if I'm working with a church or doing a Zoom meeting with them that, hey, let me Slack or message one of my team members to you know, if they have a great question or something that I haven't come across and I want to get some more feedback, I'll often mention that, and they'll be like, oh yeah, I love Slack. But I don't know how many. It's not yeah. something that comes up in all of my conversations.
This is one of those tools I was mentioning. We talked about in our free software for churches video. There's some information on that. They've made some changes to it, so you'll want to watch that video and take a look at the comments there about how you could get it. I love Slack. We use it in our business, like, you know, daily. We we're on it all the time. When we're working, we're on Slack. This is part of being a remote team. You know, you and I, Ian, are 3,000 miles apart, so we don't get to see each other as often as we would like.
But it makes us feel so much closer, doesn't it?
That's true. Yeah, it does. It does. I couldn't imagine doing this all over the phone without seeing your face and having those conversations. Yeah. And we have employees.
Or over AOL Messenger, AIM.
Right. Yeah. We have employees all over the world. So, you know, we have them in Wisconsin and Texas and Louisiana and Hawaii and the States. And then we have some team members that are overseas in the Philippines. And so it's great because we're all just right there. It's constant communication. So I think for churches, this would be such a good tool. I have used it at my church in the past, but I am a relatively new executive pastor at my church now. And I inherited a system there called Basecamp, which is fine, but it's just, I just don't feel it's as developed as something like Slack. Basecamp is a place that's kind of like Slack meets Google Drive, I guess, if you would say. So it's where you keep all your stuff. And so it's something that I anticipate that maybe we will change at our church in the near future. If anybody from my church is watching this podcast episode, let's talk about it. It might be a good thing for us to do. But Slack is our winner this year for communication tool of the year for busy pastors. Definitely use it.
That's good. Well, next one would be the best social media tool. Not social media like outlet to use, but tool. So yes.
Yeah. So yeah. No. So there's lots that can be said about the best social media platform to use.
And, right.
You know, I think it's YouTube for churches probably is the best one, but that's not the question. It's about the tool you can use. And we weighed a lot of different options for this. There's some things that I don't know if you'd call them social media tools. Like I thought about things like CapCut, which is a great tool for making short form videos or maybe repurposing your sermons. That's been super useful. But I think that's something that we use at my church, we use here at ReachRight, we gave the nod to Vista Social. Vista Social is a tool that we use for posting. And it's something that you create the content and you can load it all in there. And at scheduled times, your posts can go out. I'd say it saves users probably an hour. If you're posting daily on multiple channels, it probably could save you about half an hour to 45 minutes, maybe as much as an hour per day if you use it. Now,
that's
full
good.
Disclosure, I'm not saying going to say sour on Vista Social, but I'm starting to hedge a little bit on this because I'm seeing more and more evidence that platforms like it when you use their native tool to do your posting. So that means like if you go into Instagram and actually post there, I have seen some evidence, not totally conclusive yet, but I've seen evidence that your results are better when you do that as opposed to using a third-party tool. So we kind of are playing with using it for some channels and not for others. If you have done some of those experiments at your church and you've seen results with using a poster, whether it be Vista Social or Hootsuite or Buffer or whatever it would be, we'd love to hear about that in the comments. So if you've seen that you do better when you post directly, let us know. But I still think that it's worth it because of the time savings on most of our channels. So we do still use it some, but it may be different next year. We may kind of be recommending. I think I'm seeing a trend towards platforms wanting you to use their own posting tool. And so we may see a change on that.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's a good point. Well, next one is a big one, I think, too. The best graphic design tool to use.
This one was a no-brainer. There's lots of different options, I guess. You could look at your Photoshops and Illustrators and Figma and those kinds of things. For years, I used GIMP, which is a free version of Photoshop in a lot of ways. But hands down, without any question at all, it's Canva. Canva is something that for the vast majority of churches, the graphic design quality is good for social media content. for creating PowerPoint presentations, for just about everything you'd want to do, with the exception of maybe logo designing. It is a powerful enough tool that even our professional graphic design team here at ReachRite uses Canva to get a lot of things done quickly. Not everything. You know, we certainly don't do our logo design in Canva.
Right.
But I think when it comes to making social graphics and that kind of stuff, it's just really hard to beat. So really, it's Canva, and it's not even really that close, if I'm being honest. I imagine most of our churches, are the ones we serve, are using it.
Yep.
I think most churches I talk to use it. It's a no-brainer.
Same
and
here, yep.
It's deeply discounted, I believe. We have that in, that's one of the resources in that video I mentioned that churches can get for free or discounted if you set up with them as a nonprofit. So make sure to claim that.
Well, this next one's a good one too. The best mail tool to use.
Yep, absolutely. Now, this is another disclaimer. I do use this at my church. I do not use this at ReachRite for our business here. Not because we don't like it. It's just because we have a mail tool that's part of our overall CRM that makes it easier for us.
Yeah.
But the winner for the best mail tool is MailChimp. I think for the majority of churches, it makes sense. Now, one of the things that was so great about MailChimp is for years, they had this free forever thing where you could send out, I think it was like 2,000 emails a month or something like that, and be able to do it. I've seen that the prices on these mail tools have been steadily increasing. And this isn't just a MailChimp thing. This is all of the mail platforms, whether it's Constant Contact or MailChimp, or we use Zoho Campaigns because it's part of our CRM system.
Yep.
But MailChimp is something that is probably the easiest to use. It's easy to make good designs. There's really great tools for you to both do weekly newsletters as well as drip campaigns, which is something you would want to send out to maybe new people that come to the church for the first time, or people that are maybe getting involved in youth ministry or children's ministry or volunteers or larger donors or whatever you'd want to do. You can set up campaigns and lists that go out to different kinds of groups. Really a great tool. We've done lots of content on email marketing for churches, so I won't beat the bush on this, but MailChimp, if you're just trying to choose, hey, what's the best? I think MailChimp is kind of an easy choice that'll work for most churches.
And they've been around for a while. They have stood the test of time, so that's a good thing. So next one would be the best sermon preparation tool. Thomas, your thoughts there?
Okay, so this one I weighed quite a bit, and I was tempted to say ChatGPT was the best sermon preparation tool, not for writing sermons, but for preparing sermons and quickly gathering information. I have found myself turning to ChatGPT more than the one we're going to say. But so the winner still remains Logos Bible Software. I think is something that still is the Cadillac, the kind of the flagship when it comes to Bible study tools, preparing sermons, sermon writing. I don't personally write sermons within Logos, but it is something that I have seen and have used as like kind of tool for research. But I have found that getting context and that kind of stuff, and again, I don't trust ChatGPT, and I certainly don't trust the motives of its creators. I don't trust it to be always exactly right, but I think it's at least directionally right. And with verification, I feel comfortable using it to kind of get me in the right direction. I guess my process is usually like, if I wanted to know something about, tell me about the context of the ancient Near Eastern world around the time of Ezra or something like that. And I would let it kind of give me some information that it presents. And then I would take that information and then verify that it's accurate. That for me is much faster than trying to just find all of the context and information on the ancient Near Eastern world at the time of Ezra on my own. So that's what I have found to be my process. So I've weighed it that way. So maybe I'm kind of saying it's ChatGPT, but we're going to save that for later.
About them. Yeah.
But Logos Bible Software, I think, great tool, good people over there, tried and true. Pastors have been using it for decades at this point here, especially if you've already invested in their library and everything. There's so many books and things you probably have that you have subscriptions to. It probably is still the best tool for you in that.
Yeah, I hear about them a lot, just with the churches I interact with for sure. So, this is a good segue because of how much you were talking about this already, but the best AI tool.
Yeah. Okay. So best AI tool. There's lots of honorable mentions here, but I'm going to boil it down to two that I weighed between. And I don't know that I have an exact answer on the right thing. So AI tools, I think there's great ones for actually generating video content. So one of the AI tools that we encourage a lot of churches to use are some of the sermon-based ones. So there's like, I guess, Opus Clip is one that we did a whole review on. There's sermons.tech, there's pulpit.ai. There's several different AI tools that will take your sermons and then change them, turn them into short-form video formats, give you discussion questions from them, do all of that kind of stuff. So great. I still don't think, just because of the versatility, that they quite match up with ChatGPT. And the other one that maybe you haven't heard of is Claude. Claude is one that I use. Who was he?
Who is
I don't
he?
Know who he's named after. Just give them funny names, right? Like, yeah, so yeah. IBM has their Watson, and
yeah,
here
Watson,
we have Claude,
yeah.
Kind of a French yeah. AI is Claude.
Yeah.
So, so ChatGPT is the go-to, right? Everybody uses Claude. I have found that for me, it does much better with writing. Like the actual, if I want to take something that's like close to a, and get an answer that's close to a finished product that I could put into a social media post or kind of a starting point for a blog post, I find that Claude is much better at understanding those intricacies. And I think ChatGPT, in my experience, is better at handling instructions and answering questions, in my experience. So I had a hard time weighing it. If I look at my usage, I probably turn to ChatGPT a little bit more often because I don't do a ton of like actual like content writing. But I know our team here at ReachWrite, we lean on Claude a lot for creating different descriptions for social media posts, for maybe you're trying to fill out your YouTube description when you posted your sermon, that video. You can just put your transcript right into Claude and say, hey, write a great YouTube description that's optimized for Prayer Warrior or whatever keyword
cool.
you want to optimize
yeah,
for.
Yeah.
So we use Claude for those kinds of things. So it's kind of tough. I'd love to hear what you guys think. Do you guys use Claude? If you guys do, let us know down in the comments. But what is your go-to AI tool? That'd be a good conversation, I think.
That would be. That would be. Well, last but not least is the best note-taking tool or notes tool.
Yeah, it's super important now, I think. I know we kind of chuckled about this one as we were starting.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, maybe you... Sometimes I'm between things for different notes. Sometimes I'll do it in Google Docs. I have been trying personally to pivot to using Notion, which is our recommended tool here. Notion is a tool that we use at ReachWrite, and it's bigger than just a note-taking tool in its capacity. And one thing we're doing here is we're creating our SOPs or our playbooks. We're doing that whole thing in Notion. And so Notion is kind of like a cross between a note-taking tool and making your own Wikipedia for your organization or those kinds of things. So what it does really well is it links notes together from one to the other. So if you're someone that likes that kind of structure, and especially if you have some administrative help like we do here, it's been really good for us. So we're building our playbook here at ReachWrite in Notion so that when someone is trying to learn more about our the support issues that we have most commonly, they might run into a related issue on how that affects their billing. And you can click on billing and learn, you know, the billing link right within there, and it directs you to that kind of content. So it really is a very robust system. But I think even for really simple note-taking, Notion is probably my tool of choice. So if you're not already, I encourage you to check it out.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Awesome.
Well, I think that wraps up our list of these tools for 2025.
Yeah, the goal was to help pastors who find themselves busy.
Yeah.
And I think all of these things are tools that can make your life faster, especially compared to the alternative. You know, you mentioned things like Canva. I mean, the things that I can do in Canva in 3 minutes used to take me an hour and a half when we would do it in Illustrator or Photoshop back when I did so much of our web design and that kind of stuff here at ReachWrite. So it really is a trip to see how much time you can save. Don't get me started on AI with how much time we save on those kinds of things. So hopefully this has been helpful to you. I know sometimes it feels like all these things don't really wind up saving us time, which just lets us do more. And so I hope that it has been helpful to you and you see some ways you can shave off a few minutes there. If it has, let us know down in the comments. Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll catch you next time.
See you.